Good morning. Well, that was a Sunday overload. There'd be a few personal bests, I reckon. How much sport is it possible to take in from the time you roll out of bed to finally packing it in? Throw in a bit of junior footy to the television viewing, and there might never have been a more demanding day for the sport devotee. Are you feeling that this Monday morning? 0433 98 11 16. We'll weave your calls in. We'll need 6 hours to bring ourselves up to speed on what's happened, let alone what comes next. David King in a moment to sift through salvaged Sunday, which provoked a wreck for the Queensland teams and provided two pulsating games that couldn't have been more different from their staging and their nature. The Swans are giving themselves every chance to rattle into the top four. They saw off Essendon, and Fremantle are the current custodians of eighth after wearing down Richmond. But possession's about one-tenth of the law, the way that eighth place has been changing hands week on week. Dual Olympic gold medalist Ariane Titmus after the 10 o'clock news, and Robert Craddock. Have we ever needed his wisdom quite so much to make sense of it all? These Tokyo Olympics have us in thrall. The extremes of the games gripping us hour by hour. Our athletes, I think, redefining what it is to represent Australia on the greatest stage of international sport. Humility blended with excellence, perspective mixed with burning desire. Captivating moments happening so rapidly, there's a risk that we won't take them all in. Rowan Browning took us there last night to the blocks of the 100 metres semi-finals. Australia craves involvement in the big moments, and this is the biggest of all. His win in the heat was electrifying. It will be right up there with anything that transpires in an Australian singlet or shirt or bathers or lycra across these games. Surely every family was gathered around the telly for that 10 seconds. The discus had taken us on a wild ride with Matthew Denny, and Brandon Stark made us giddy with the heights that he was attempting. The delayed start in the hurdles, well, that drove you to the edge of madness, and Liz Clay to the cusp of the final. None got what they wanted, but they all won their place in our affections. And then Peter Bold, well, he defied them all and won his semi of the 800. We'll go through it again with him on Wednesday night. Hopefully by then we've settled on a national nickname for him. There's all manner of suggestion. I rather like Hyper. Kate Campbell took us there yesterday, the heart of a champion, anchoring the medley relay team to gold, coming from behind in what might prove her farewell Olympic swim. The deeds of Emma McKeon are hard to comprehend, both her place in Australia's Olympic lore and in the game's overall history. McKeon, Kayleigh McEwen and Ariane Titmus all completed story doubles, and the women bookended the meet with iconic relay victories. For Australia, the first week of the Games is defined by swimming, and Australia's medal haul is inextricably linked to what happens in the pool. In London and Rio, swimming failed. It failed to meet its markers, and those entrusted to run the sport faced up to the shortcomings and overhauled the old ways. At the heart of every decision was how to optimise the chances of an athlete producing their best swim in the moment of maximum pressure. And we saw that over and over and over again in Tokyo. All involved in swimming over the past decade, and they have worn plenty of doubts and plenty of false reports along the way. They are to be commended as this team becomes the most successful ever in the pool. Rob Woodhouse will join me as this day of competition unfolds. We'll analyse what's been achieved and all the work that's been put in to get there. The swimming underpins what looks like a historic Games. And just that sense is, this is exactly what we needed as sport fans. And there were plenty who doubted the worth of the Tokyo Games, but day by day, enthrall. They hold us enthrall.